Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello and welcome to a very special Halloween episode of Hey Ghost Hey. I am here to talk about some of my more creepy moments with you guys. Some I share on the tours a little bit, but some I'm going to have completely new details for you. So we're just going to jump right in. Here we go. Back when I was with Boo, probably 13 to 14 years ago, there was a family from Cedar Woolley, Skagit County, that was experiencing different types of activity in their home. The main account of activity that I do remember was that the parents' bedroom had a shared wall with their 4 to 5 year old son. The parents said on many occasions they would hear their son throwing his toys against the shared wall. However, when they would go to tell him to go back to bed, they would find him sound asleep. The first time I went in to investigate with Boo, we went in as a team of about 5 to 6 people. We carpooled down together so we didn't have a bunch of cars in their small driveway. We started with the parents in the living room as they told us about the activity in the home. As we got further into the investigation, it seemed that the garage was the most active for others, but I wasn't necessarily feeling anything there. At one point, we were hanging out in the child's bedroom waiting for activity to happen. Nothing was going on, so we started talking and sharing stories with each other, which was very common when an investigation had gone quiet. My first job in Bellingham was working at the local JCPenney, and at that time, we had an issue of customers gathering up armfuls of clearance clothes, throwing them in the corner of the fitting room, and urinating all over the pile of clothes. We had a good laugh about it, but decided to move on as we were still not having any paranormal activity. The whole investigation felt rather quiet to me, so I went outside to see what was going on out there. As we walked around the property, we noticed immediately that it backed against the literal fence line of a cemetery. We had no idea if the activity connected to the home was connected to the graveyard. Walking around the yard, I started to get a sensation of feeling sick in my stomach. It was accompanied by a feeling of lightness. It wasn't quite like I was about to pass out, but a kind of sickly disconnection from my body. I had never experienced a feeling like that in my life, let alone on any investigation. I started to walk around more and head inside, and as I did, the feeling started to subside. Within a few minutes, I was back to normal and glad to have shaken the feeling. We've remained at the home for a while longer, but nothing in particular happened, so we carpooled back to Bellingham. I was dropped off downtown at my car and drove home thinking about the uncomfortable sensation I had experienced earlier. Upon arriving home and parking, I decided to leave my jacket in the passenger seat as I was going to meet friends in the morning. I walked up to the front door, paused, and remembered to make my boundaries before going inside the house. I looked back at my car, thinking back at the feeling I had experienced. I firmly said, "If anything followed me, you are not welcome in my space." I turned to the door and went inside and then went to sleep. The next day, I was meeting some friends for a movie. I knew I had left my jacket in the car for that reason. When I got to the movie theater, I grabbed my jacket where I left it in the passenger seat next to me. As I touched it, my hand immediately recoiled. It was soaking wet. I guessed that there was a leak in my car, so I started to feel around the seat. Nothing else appeared to be wet, so disappointed and confused, I left the jacket and went to go join my friends. After the movie, I returned to my car and started to inspect all around the doors, windows, and moonroof. Something had to have leaked somewhere. After all, it had rained the night before. As I continued my search, everything I felt turned up dry. Nothing could explain the wetness of the jacket, and then it hit me. I wasn't even sure that this was the cause, but it was the only correlation that I could make in my mind. What if something had followed me from the Cedra Woolly House and spectrally urinated all over my jacket? Even for me, the thought was pretty out there, but it wouldn't leave my mind. I could not come up with any explanation or connection other than the story I told about the clearance clothes at work. I brought the jacket up to my nose and cautiously took a whiff. It didn't smell like urine. It didn't smell like anything, really. This made me sigh a bit of relief, but I called my mom outside so she could give it a smell, too. She could not detect any sort of scent on it either. It didn't matter whatever it was. She told me I had to keep the jacket outside in my car. I reluctantly agreed and left it in my car for the next day. To this day, I still have no idea what caused the wetness on my jacket. Luckily, nothing else happened until I went back to the house in Cedra Woolly for a second investigation. Alright, now before I get into the conclusion of this story and what happened next, I want to take a slight little break and talk about a story I do talk about on the Fairhaven tour, and I'm going to call that one My Fairhaven Lady. So here we go. We were sitting around the conference table of Whidbey Island Bank, located inside the Waldron Building of historic Fairhaven in Bellingham. It was myself and about six others, some of the old ghost hunting group Boo, some were from the bank, and some were from the Haunted Fairhaven book that was being written. The members of Boo were invited there by Timey, who is the author of the upcoming Haunted Fairhaven book. We learned of the building's activity, which seemed to be your general run-of-the-mill ghost happenings. The bank staff seemed to have minor day-to-day encounters, but nothing that really seemed to stand out. As we sat around the table, I got the feeling of someone standing behind me. I wasn't quite sure if I was even sure about what I was experiencing, so I stayed quiet at first. I then got the sense that someone was blowing on my ear. I did not feel a physical stream of air on my ear, but it was the sense of it happening. It was strongly in my mind, which made my ear tingle. At this point, I decided to share what was happening with the rest of the group. They started to take some pictures around me and found that there was an orb of light floating around me in the photos. We continued to sit and talk around the table, but the feeling behind me did not subside at all. In fact, it intensified. It now felt as if someone was gently flicking my ear. Again, it didn't feel physical, but I had the strong sense in my mind it would not go away. I finally spoke up about it again to the group. The former leader of Boo, Sherry, a medium, decided to reach out and see what she could find. She identified the spirit of a woman who was a former lady of the evening. As soon as she said it, everyone around the table erupted into laughter, as it was the last thing that we were expecting her to say. It seemed to make sense with what I was experiencing, so I went along with it. That night, after the investigation, I had dreams of a woman who came at me very intimately and aggressively. I brushed it off because of the night's events and figured I had the whole night situation still on my mind. After that event, I got to investigate several other areas of Fairhaven to continue helping with the book. When we were at the shop A Lot of Flowers, as soon as we started our investigation of the space, I felt her presence again. This time, I felt her attached to my right side. She had a heaviness that was hard to shake. It was almost as if someone had been hanging on my right side, holding tight. It took a while for the feeling to go away, as it continued to persist through most of the investigation. Eventually, I forgot about it, or it subsided, and I continued on with the evening. But then that night, I had a similar string of dreams, same as the night of the first investigation. A woman with brunette hair continued to get very aggressive with me. Now, after the second dream, I had to wonder if it was my brain making this up, or if it was actually coming from another source. The investigations continued throughout Fairhaven. Village Books, The Space Above Fairhaven Runners, and Finnegan's Alley. Each time I came to investigate, I felt her. Each time I went home, I had another dream. At this point, I knew 1,000% that this was not just my brain making it up. And in case you couldn't tell by the podcast name, well, I am deeply gay. This was completely new territory for me, as I was absolutely sure that this wasn't my brain making it up, not this many times. At this point, it became abundantly clear to me that I had to make some boundaries. Granted, I probably should have implemented stronger boundaries in the first place, instead of letting it go on as long as it did. So one day, I sat at my home on my bed, and I wasn't really sure where to begin, so I just started talking. I waited for a time when I knew I would be alone and my roommate wouldn't hear me. I calmly explained everything as best as I could, as to why I didn't want her presence around, and as I talked to the air, I got no confirmation or awareness of her being around or hearing me. When I felt I was done and moved on with my day. The very next morning, I woke up and lingered in bed. I heard my roommate whistling in the next room, so I got up to say good morning to her. When I rounded the corner to her room, she wasn't there. I stood confused for a second. I walked into the kitchen and realized her things were gone, and she indeed was not home. I didn't have to think about it much, but it just kind of clicked in my brain what I had experienced. I strongly believe that this was my Fairhaven lady saying goodbye. After that, I never felt her presence again. Even all the times I have gone back to Fairhaven, I still haven't encountered her. Alright, and now, back to Cedra Woolley to wrap up the conclusion of the Cedra Woolley House. Alright, so after the initial investigation, several months passed. The family continued to experience things after our first visit, so I was asked back in a smaller group with Sherry and Elena. Again, we carpooled down together. Elena and I started our investigation in the garage, as that was where activity seemed to be concentrated before for the other Boo members. As soon as we were in the garage, we sensed things moving around us. We seemed to hear little noises, small shuffling of boxes and things. One thing I remember very clearly is seeing a shadow figure pace back and forth by the garage door. There were tiny cracks of light coming through the slits in between the garage door panels, three of them in total. At times, all three of those slits of light were blocked out by the shadowy figure pacing back and forth in the space. You could even make out the shape of a head and shoulders as it continued its silent march by every time. We stayed in the garage for a little while longer, but the activity seemed to dissipate. As we exited, Elena's hands started to feel irritated. The backs of both hands started to have some sort of reaction, like they were breaking into hives. We wondered if she had been bitten by something in the garage, or maybe brushed up against something and was having an allergic reaction. Whatever it was, her hands continued to get worse as the night went on. After spending some time with Sherry and the family, Elena came back and told me I had to go check out the bedroom and see what I felt. I went in there by myself in the dark and sat on the floor. All of a sudden, I was overwhelmed by a sense of wanting to cry for no reason. I wondered if I was working myself up just by sitting in the dark and decided to leave the room. As soon as I left the bedroom, the feeling started to subside. However, it did not completely leave me. We wrapped up the investigation and began our drive back to Bellingham. As I sat with my thoughts, I couldn't help but continue to feel the heavy feeling I experienced in the bedroom. It even got to the point where I was contemplating reaching out to my friends and asking someone to stay the night in my place with me. As I was lost in my own thoughts, debating what my next steps were going to be, Elena turned around from the front passenger seat, looked at me, and said, "Something is attached to you." I was surprised and not surprised at the same time, but all I could respond with was, "I think so too." When they dropped me off at my home, I got a text almost immediately from Elena. She said the air in the van cleared almost instantly once I got out of it, confirming that whatever was with us was with me. I knew I wasn't ready to go back inside my home, not while I felt like this. So I stayed outside and talked aloud to whatever force was with me. I told it every which way I could, "You are not welcome here. This is my space. You are not welcome inside of my space." Every single way I could word it or I could think of, I said it out loud. When I finally felt good enough to go inside, I crawled directly into bed. My roommate was out of town, and there weren't any tenants in the apartment below. I knew I was alone in the entire house. As I thought about what I had experienced, then the banging started. It sounded like someone was striking the wall right below my bed with an open hand. Whatever it was that followed me, it did actually listen to me. It didn't come into my space. It went to the neighbors below. Thankfully, there weren't any neighbors in there to experience that. The very next day, I woke up and decided to get ready and headed out of my home. I was house-sitting for my parents, so I wasn't quite sure if that feeling was still around. As soon as I left my apartment, I felt the presence surrounding me once more. When I arrived at my parents' house, I spent a considerable amount of time walking around, talking to the entity, telling it to leave. Finally, after doing so for a good 20 minutes, I felt it leave and take off into the woods. And I have never encountered that energy again, or at least not that I know of. In reflecting on it, it did not feel like a human energy to me at all. It just felt like something else. I wouldn't call it demonic by any means, but I almost wonder if it was some sort of nature energy that I had picked up. Anyways, for both experiences, they've taught me the importance and necessity of having energetic boundaries with what we cannot see. So please, make those boundaries and know that you do have a say in what you experience. If you want it, invite it in. If you don't, put your foot down and keep it out. I cannot thank you enough for being here for this special Halloween episode. So I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful and safe Halloween yourselves. And stay spooky, my friends. Thank you again.